West West, y'all.
He's all on. Oh, he's away from one, away from another. Look at this.
Lover, welcome back to another episode of the Counter Ruck. Welcome back to the host of the welcome back to 135 Footy Show. Oh, this guy's taking over my show. The host of the Counter Ruck. Welcome, Stace. How's it going, Us?
Yeah, thanks for having me on, brother, and thanks for plugging my podcast too. Take
that. Yeah, yeah, actually, yeah, man, you guys coming up to the World Cup, so I guess you guys got some plans, gonna run a pod.
Yeah, yeah, we're going to try to get an episode out this week, just a World Cup preview and get some thoughts from the boys, some analysis around the pool stages. That's where we'll be starting, and just get some predictions around who we think's going to win and standout players and that sort of stuff. So just anyone who's out there, just keep listening. Should be some interesting stuff.
Nice. When's the kickoff? When is the actual World Cup?
I think next weekend.
Oh, really?
Is the official date, yeah. So it's coming, it's looming. It's about about 10 days away. So, oh. Like, literally.
Oh, wow, okay.
So we're going to get our preview out this week.
Not much buzz yet then. That's... Oh, wow, I thought it was going to be, like, after the finals for the NRL.
Nah, so you got to, TV time is going to be pretty full on for sports fans over the next sort of month or so. So, especially if the Warriors continue to go good. So, be good for New Zealanders.
Yeah, I'm surprised the hype's not more, especially that close.
Yeah, rugby's a lot behind other sports in the NRL and a lot of other sports, and their marketing team needs to up their game, because I'm with you. It sort of snuck up on a lot of people. So
yeah. Like, everyone kind of knew this was the year, and kind of, especially with the game on, the weekend just went, was this like another warm-up game? So it's like pretty close to the actual start. Kind of a game like that. All right, anyway, mate, back onto my game. Cool, man. Shucks, last round of the NRL. Some of the games are very much dead rubbers, but man, there's some good ones, and right down to, so probably credit to, again, to the NRL guys getting their schedule sorted. And some of these games this week are going to be quite important. We'll kick off first and talk about the game tomorrow night, the Broncos Storm. Broncos sitting at first. Awesome chance for them to become minor premiers. But they're resting a lot of players. Your thoughts on them resting these players, man?
Yeah, interesting, eh? The first against fourth, so normally this should be quite the blockbuster. But like you said, both sides resting their guns before the finals, so it's not quite the big a blockbuster game that it should be. I think Simon mentioned in our group chat that Melbourne have basically got their number and have won something like 13 in a row against the Bronx. So every team has that bogey team, and the Storm, they just seem to be that team for the Bronx. So that hoodoo is looming over them. And I'm not sure about the resting, eh? I wonder if the Bronx could have tried to jag a win here just to settle themselves from that hoodoo. Also, you keep in mind, they've had two buys in the past 10 weeks. So I'm not sure about the health of the players. Simon's a Broncos expert. He could probably comment more about that if he was here. But if they're carrying niggles, then cool, rest them. But I wouldn't just be resting them for the sake of resting them for the finals, because they've had two buys, like I mentioned. So, yeah, it would have been a good opportunity just for them to get that win the minor premiership and break that losing streak. And, you know, but you know, they're top of the table at the moment. They've earned the right to give their players a rest, I guess, after a strong season. So, interesting thoughts there. What have you made of that game and the rest?
It's an interesting approach from the Broncos. Like you're saying, to break that hoodoo. Like, so they haven't been in the Storms. They've only been in them three times since 2009. That's a long run and like a massive hoodoo that can play on players' minds. I guess it, both teams is kind of like there's a lot of players out. Still a lot of decent players there in the team. Pippenhausen starting as well.
Yeah, that's interesting.
But yeah, I thought for, you know, just for their own yeah, to kind of get that monkey off their back going into the finals. The other thing too, they kind of win this game, they potentially end up facing the Storm again anyway. So
yeah,
if they win this, they go through, and then they have to do it all again in the first week of finals. They lose it, same diff. If the Storm win and the Warriors drop their game, then they could face them again and have two, you know, especially if they can't shake that hoodoo and go into a finals off the back of a loss. I think that's going to play a lot of mind games on them. So anyone's to lose, especially, I guess, you know, they've had some injuries that game last week. You know, they got through without Reynolds again. So I guess they've kind of proven that they can do that. They've seen a lot of weeks without Reynolds, and they've got other stars in their team that can step up. Is it the Broncos season?
I'm not sure. I think we'll get a lot out of this game as well, because like you said, that hoodoo, that's one thing that's looming over them. I think that they believe they can beat every other team in that top eight. But just psychologically, I think the Storm have got them, and that's the only thing that would be good for them to get that win, like you said, this week, just to get their monkey off the back. So this is going to be interesting. I think the Broncos are up there. I still got the Panthers probably as the number one team, but the Broncos, man, they're just a touch behind, eh? So I expect both of them at least to have quite deep runs in the Broncos to have another, continue on their good form there. Reese Walsh, he carved up last week, and, you know, he's been a difference maker for them. So, yeah, as long as they can keep, they've got some crucial guys there, so if they can keep them healthy, I think Reynolds will be back by the playoffs, and Carrigan as well. So, no, I think that they'll be hoping they can get through this game unscathed as well, which is probably a big reason why they're resting a lot of their guys. You know, no one remembers that you got the monkey off your back if you get knocked out in straight sets in the playoffs because you got injured players. So,
yeah,
I suppose from that perspective, you know, they're probably making the right call. $200,000 for winning the minor premiership, I will add. So they are potentially foregoing that $200,000. Not that the Broncos need it, because they're one of the richest clubs around. But still, there's nothing to be sneezed at. Clubs don't normally care a lot for the minor premiership, and neither do the fans. But just another sort of interesting side fact that they might have considered there.
Interesting mindset too. I guess that's also maybe not a snub to the minor premiership, but I guess maybe where their heads are at as well. Like, they know what the goal is. The Warriors kind of say the same as well. You know, as much as everyone's celebrating, you see internally a lot of the players are saying, we haven't done anything yet. Potentially, you know, maybe the Broncos on that same page that, like you're saying, no one remembers the minor premiers. Everyone remembers the winners. Could kind of sway for their side. Who are you picking for this?
I'm picking the Storm just on that hoodoo factor. I think they're both even quite evenly matched. Just the Storm seem, for whatever reason, to have them covered, so until they break it, I'm just going to keep going with that. So, yeah, I'm going the Storm. It'll be a close game, and quite hard to get a prediction when there's so many players out. We don't know how a lot of these other rookies are going to go, but, yeah, I've just gone the Storm in a close one just for the hoodoo. How about you? Have you seen that one?
Yeah. Like, just with the fact of the hoodoo, with all the players out, I think Storm got a bit more to play for. Pappenhausen back in there, so playing, you know, starting aside for this grade, I think it's huge for him. I think I'm going to go for Storm as well on this.
Ooh, it's going to be interesting, because that's going to have implications for the later predictor later on, which we might
get
to.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. The next game, the Friday night game, two disappointing teams, the Sea Eagles and West Tigers. Cherry Evans last week, though.
Mate, he was awesome.
Yeah. For a team, that's probably, yeah, they really need to figure out what they do without Turbo, because, man, this is, I guess you look at what Reese Walsh can do with that Broncos team. I guess they're a bit more well-rounded. That's the only thing with the Broncos. You know, Reynolds, really dictates that team. Cherry Evans has taken a lot of ownership on the Manly team. I think as the captain and the playmaker, you know, it's kind of like Turbo's the guy that does everything. So, yeah, I think Cherry Evans has really stepped up.
Yeah.
But do you think it's a failure of Manly where they sit at the moment and where they've ended up this year?
Yeah, oh, it's tough, eh? Like you say, Turbo is so crucial to their team success. And he's one of the... There's not many people who have as much influence over a result as he does. So you think if he was played the whole season and he was injury-free, he would have won them a couple of those close games and he would have been a difference maker. And then, you know, they finish what... I've got them finishing 10th. You know, not that far out outside the 8th, so... you know, they would have only been one or two wins out there, and I think Turbo could have got them over the line to get them in the 8, just to jag a couple of turn a couple of those losses or that draw into a win. So you know, I don't know if I'd say disappointing. I think that it's probably a fair result of them without Turbo as sort of a potentially coming bottom half of the 8 or outside the 8. So I think that's where they're at. But DCE, yeah, you're right, he was a difference maker. And you, like, if you compare the Seagulls to, say, the Bronx and that, and the Storm and that, like, if Reynolds is a bit quiet, you can trust that Reece Walsh can win the game for you.
Yeah, yeah.
And they've always got, there's sort of like that two-pronged attack. And even with the Storm, they've got Munster and Hughes and Panthers have got, you know, they've got Luai and Cleary. So the Seagulls, if it's all on Cherry Evans now that Turbo's gone down.
Yeah,
and, you
yeah.
know, he can't have a quiet game because there's no one else who's going to win them the game for them. And that's where they really miss Turbo. So, yeah, I think that's fair. But, yeah, good game. Seagulls, Tigers, sorry, got a bit off there. Jake's 200th game, I'll add as well. So that's another good thing there.
Gerber.
For them. Might get up for that. Oh, one thing I will say, like they put that guy Kohler at fullback last week.
Yeah, yeah.
He looked really good there. Now, obviously, he's covering up the Dogs, which has been quite easy.
He came and covered Turbo when he first came on the scene from fullback. And so I think it was interesting just to see him, like, now that he's had so much games under his belt, just that confidence. Yeah, he seemed a lot more comfortable back there.
Yeah, he looked good there. He's getting another opportunity this week. And I wonder, I heard someone, I can't remember who it was, had a theory, you know, because Turbo, his body keeps breaking down. And if they could pick Cole at fullback and play Turbo in the centres for a little bit next year, just to manage his body through it and then sort of play him at fullback for a bit of games and a couple of games at centre, Turbo, just to sort of keep him in the season, throughout the season, because I don't think his body can handle workload of fullback week in, week out. So, and I think you can potentially do that if Kohler's good enough. Yeah, now you can trust Kohler.
Because then you can play almost like a two fullback, both sides of the ruck, and then you can also, playing that role, kind of like Joey Manu, having him at centre. So if he is feeling, you know, having a day, you know, he's just closer and gets... No, you'll just get more touches. So, who are they bringing in? So is Luke Brooks confirmed to be with Manly next year?
Yeah, Luke Brooks has signed in for next year. I think that means that Schuster's going to be playing on the edge there.
Yeah,
so a few shakeups there. It's going to be interesting how that unfolds. But the way that
coaching job, played, I think.
Yeah. I think Brooks might be a bit of an upgrade on Schuster, unfortunately, because he's got all the potential in the world, but he just hasn't been consistent enough. But,
it'll be an interesting one. Luke, I was going to say for Brooksy, but he's not even playing. He's still out. So. I was going to say it would have been a good chance for him to just play against him before he moves. But, so the Tigers lose Luke Brooks. I guess they're already looking forward to the rebuild. I don't know what happens to the Tigers. They lose Dane Laurie as well, just as he's starting to look okay. Uppies look good at halfback, but do you think that's a permanent switch or they're waiting till they find their proper halfback?
Yeah, it's tough, eh, with Brooks leaving. He's the Abyss 7 and the Abyss 9 RP, so if you could clone him, that'd be good. But I'm not sure who they're going to get. I know they've signed... Oh, they've got Aiden Caesar coming in, I believe.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Super League, so I think he'll be playing in the halves. Adam Doi will hopefully be back from his injury, ACL next year, and he's a decent 5'8". So that will allow Uppy to play hooker again. Mm.
All right, who are you going on this one, man?
This is one of the only games that's not going to make any difference to the top eight, so I don't even know if I'll watch it, but I think the Seagulls are the better team, you know, just on paper. And Cherry Evans, we talked about him earlier, he's been the difference maker for them, and I think he'll be the difference again. So I'll go the Seagulls, probably, yeah, Seagulls by 6, I'll say.
Nice. Yeah, I'm picking the Seagulls. I think, as a send-off to their fans at Four Pines as well. They'll probably have a good one just to kind of finish out their season, try and give back to the fans. So that should be, like you're saying, doesn't make much impact to the result, I guess, for the two teams trying to finish out the season. I think Manly's probably got more to play for it in front of their home crowd. All right, the second game of that Friday, probably the most, the one everyone's probably going to be wanting to watch. These guys aren't resting anyone except for guys that have been suspended and injured. The Roosters-Rabbits game. Must win for both of these guys. Your thoughts on these two?
Yeah, it's going to be a good game. They've got the old book of feuds about these two teams, so... I know that. I remember these two teams. I think they played last year to finish the round. They finished the regular season. And I think there's like 5 yellow cards or something ridiculous like that, such as that rivalry between the two sides. But if you add in that possibility, you know, that this could decide who's in and out of the playoffs.
Yeah.
And this could be another one of those powder keg type games. So I think the Roosters, they've lost Joey Manu. I think he's got a calf strain. Whitey Hargraves has been confirmed to be suspended essentially for the rest of the season, however far they get. And those two guys, those are two of their better guys. I'll just take the Rabbits on those two guys being out. So I think that Rabbitohs to get the win. And based on that, on my ladder predictor, I've got the Rabbitohs moving into the top eight on the back of that. So
Rabbits.
I'm taking Rabbits that one.
Man, Luke Walker, Sam Walker, sorry. I don't know if, there was a lot of pressure put on him and kind of the reason that he got dropped, but, man, he looked good on the weekend.
Yeah, he did.
I think they've just been going so well, but I think, like you're saying, this kind of match is is that kind of, with the yellow cards from last year, maybe that's part of the reason they stood Jared Ware Hargraves down. 7-game ban, though, that's huge. The bigger scheme of things. What are your thoughts on that? So the 7 weeks for the two incidents last week?
It seems excessive, 7 weeks, that's a lot. But I don't know, he's got history of, I think he's had at least a couple of, he's good for at least a couple of weeks every season, or feels like, Jared Whitey Hargraves. So, unfortunate for him. I think he's on like 298 games or something like that. So he was hoping to get his 300th soon. He's going to have to postpone it. They've got Vegas, they're in Vegas next year. I think he's going to miss that.
That's right.
So, I think I saw that both of those incidents, I thought the headbutt was a little bit, not much in it, but that clothesline on Uppy, whatever he got for that, I thought that was fair. Yeah. Well, what did you make of those suspensions?
Yeah, I think they're, if it was anyone else, I think, it'll be overboard. I guess that's the problem, like how they do that. Maybe that's the point of it, is that, you get that loading because you are known for it and you've got to learn. Like, you can't just keep playing. I guess that's the only level he plays at. But I guess it comes down to just detail, just him, you know, making sure he's getting those right. Like when he gets them right, they come off and make a big difference in a game. But yeah, I guess a reflection of their season too. Like that's the thing, they had that game as the Tigers, and there was no reason to be playing like that. So I think that's the other thing is, you know, what, you know, in the bigger scheme of things, it's similar to, you know, what happened to Parramatta. You know, when players are just doing silly things that let down the rest of the team. So he could be crucial on that on Friday night. But I'm actually picking the Roosters. Swalees look so good at the moment. And they've pretty much got, you know, both their halves there as well. I think Rabbits probably would have been up with all the, everything else going on outside of the game. But I think Latrell's going to be a huge miss there on the weekend. I think he would have got up for this. I think it's potentially a game that he's... Yeah, he could have been a game changer. I don't think they're going to get the chance to use Latrell, though. I think I'm saying the Roosters are going to pip this. And unfortunately, yeah, Latrell's actually not going to get another chance to shine this year. So, yeah, I think this would have been one of those ones where Latrell could have really just flipped the headlines. But the fact that he's not even there. Yeah, again, unfortunately, these teams, like the fact that they're two huge teams in the biggest scheme of NRL to be at this position, real interesting. In terms of that, yeah, I think we'll go to the next game because I think that was probably one of my other points is just the teams being able to get the rubber green and what that makes for the season. The Warriors against the Dolphins, the Saturday game. How you seeing that? The Warriors are doing a lot of resting as well.
Yeah.
Sitting at third at the moment.
Yeah, a lot of guys being rested. Like I said before, it makes the predictions quite difficult. Mm. But yeah, if the Warriors can get a win, that'll be eight in a row for them. And that's going to equal the club record, which they set way back in 2002. Okay. So,
yeah.
You know, a lot of guys out. But yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing... Tim Mighty Martin, seeing how he goes.
Coming back.
Yeah, he's had that long injury layoff, but I think Metcalf, that hammy looked quite bad when he hobbled off. I think he was in tears. So that, I don't know if it's season ending, but it looked pretty close to it.
Yeah, it's been confirmed this season ending.
Oh, has it? Yeah, it has been.
Yeah. Oh. So the first time they get to try their new combination of halves when Sean's back will be the first...
So
it's kind of interesting that they did the rest. You would have thought maybe they'd let him and Tomaite at least just work some combinations this week.
Yeah.
But yeah, if they so they're going in with Volkman and Tomaite. And the first time there'll be the new house pairing will be in our first week of finals. So yeah, it's gonna be real interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I know Tohu Harris has also picked up an injury as well, so he's in doubt for that first week of the finals, so no, not good news here. I don't know, we're sort of looking a bit ahead here, but you're just on this one. I think the Warriors, I think they'll get a win still, and I think they'll equal that record, so the Warriors by 10. And I hope Tim Whitey goes well. I think he's a better defender than Metcalf, so they've had some edge defense issues, and I think it was the Seagulls. They really went after Metcalf.
That
caused Pompey and Co to turn in. And then that left Saab getting outside Montoya. So I think hopefully Tim Whitey can fix that part of the game up for the Warriors. They don't want to put too much pressure on him because he's coming back from a long-term injury. But, yeah, it's going to be a good game for the Warriors. And hopefully they can put in a good performance because... I know Simon's touched on it a little bit, but they've been getting wins without actually playing that good. So it'd be good to just see them put in a solid performance just before the playoffs anyway.
Yeah, it'll be interesting, especially with some of those, Ewan Aitken playing against the Warriors. So
On
that edge that you're talking about. So that'll be quite interesting to see that matchup. And Hammer's back. So, yeah, I'm picking the Warriors. But that'll be real interesting. Just the position they find themselves in, without those halves having a chance. Second game on Saturday night, Panthers-Cowboys. Panthers currently on 40. So I guess it's really determinant on the first game. Not sure if they've got a team list yet. But what are your thoughts on this one? They'll probably rest players if the Broncos win. Your thoughts on them resting?
Yeah, I'm not sure if they will, eh? Because they suffered their shock loss last week to the Eels.
You mentioned, you know, for that record, and so you felt, and Tama, also a proud Panthers supporter, thought they needed a loss. Not sure if they plan to lose two in a row, though.
Exactly. Like, you don't want to be heading into the playoffs with back-to-back losses, you know what I mean? So I feel like if you look at the team they've named, they haven't gone as rested as much as the rest of the top four. Now, even though they're guaranteed first or second, they'll get a home playoff in week one. But I think that loss to the Eels kind of stuffed their plans up a little bit, and they're thinking, we don't want to go on with back-to-back losses. So they're putting in close, not quite their best team, but pretty close to it. I think Luai, he's done his shoulder. I don't know how bad that is, if they've released the news on that. But yeah, Cogger at six is going to be interesting. Now, he's more of a seven.
Yeah, so he doesn't have the running game. For Nathan Cleary, yeah.
And he done a good job there, but that's more his natural game. You know, Luai is he's a good runner, and he's got good footwork and all the rest of it. So Cleary's more of a passer type guy, passer kicker type half. And then when you add Yo, who's the passer as well, Cogger is also a passing guy. So there's too much. This is where Luai becomes really important, because he offers that point of difference, being the running half. And I think this is the Panthers got those great systems where they can just chuck guys in who can play that similar style. But Luai's almost the guy that's irreplaceable, because there's no like-for-like replacement for him. So that's going to get quite interesting there, how that all works out.
That's a good point, though. Like you're saying, pretty much playing close to their strongest team as well. But yeah, with that Cogger choice, maybe they try play something with Tyrone, maybe Peachy, because I guess he's the only one who kind of has a running game. So maybe they try and bring him a bit more, bring him closer, maybe play him as another ball player just to run, like you're saying, because everything's going to be off a pass. I'm surprised that they've got such a strong-looking team. I think that loss last week probably did a lot of harm to them.
They don't want to lose back-to-back and then play, the playoffs. So I think that's why. I think if they won last week, they would have rested a lot of guys this week. But that sort of put on a spanner in the works for them.
Yeah, real interesting, though. So that with your Storm winning that first game, and if they, they're playing their first string team, they actually end up back as minor premiers, just based on their strong for and against.
Yeah. Also, keep in mind, the Cowboys are in the mix, sort of, aren't they? Potentially.
Yeah. So it's huge for the Cowboys to actually get in there.
If they had rested a lot of their guys, the Cowboys probably would have had a higher chance of winning that game and then getting in the playoffs. But now, the Eels might have indirectly sort of stuffed up the Cowboys' chances in some way.
And I think similar to what the Warriors are facing, I think maybe they're looking at that same point of not wanting to go into finals with a new combination, an untested combination. Because I guess, like you're saying, the interesting call about Cogger, is that's the call that they have to make for the rest of the playoffs, unless Luai can come back. I don't know how bad that injury is. They're trying to play it down that he's not going to get surgery and he's going to somehow play on. I don't know how bad it is. I guess definitely not the time to be experimenting. So they've obviously seen something enough at training to lock in Cogger. They don't seem like a team that would chop and change each week. So maybe they're trying to try and solidify those combinations before heading into the playoffs.
Yeah, I heard some stats. The Panthers actually have a higher winning percentage with Luai than they do with Cleary. So I think when Cleary's out, when Cleary's out, it's still high, but when Luai's out, I think it's quite a bit worse or something. So I can't remember what the exact number was, but it just shows how important Luai is to that team. So that's going to get quite interesting.
Yeah, that should be a good one, and the Cowboys will be desperate too. So I think the Cowboys are I think you look at paper, and I think it's a well-coached team that plays above its above the roster, because nothing really stands out from that the Cowboys team. They've always had solid team, but you know, just Drinkwater has probably been one of their guns this year. Townsend's nothing. You know, he's always just solid, but yeah, not a real huge game changer.
They got a. I actually think their roster's not too shabby. I think they've got a top eight roster. So if they miss the playoffs, I think they would have underachieved. And that'll be disappointing for them, but you never know. That sometimes you can use that as motivation. I heard Matthew Johns talking about this earlier. How they were, I think they were pre tournament favourites. I think 96. They had a good year 95 and then 96, and then they missed the playoffs, and that spurred them on.
Because they were the last to have that record. That's what you were saying, before the Eels. What was that? 2013 was the last.
Yeah, and then that spurred them on to achieve better things. So, maybe there's a silver lining there. But at this point, I think they would underachieve if they missed the eight.
Tom Dearden, probably picking him to have a standout for the Cowboys. He's had a pretty good season too. Missed out on Origin, but yeah, he's been pretty solid ever since.
And you're sort of wondering, DCE's getting on a bit, who's next in line, and I think maybe Dearden might be that guy, so for Origin level, so I think he's had a game or two, and he showed up pretty good, so, he can play at a high level if he's given the opportunity, for sure.
Yeah. Nice. The Dragons Knights game, last game of Saturday night. Dragons pushed hard last week against the Warriors.
I thought they played right. They put 28 points on the Storm the week before, so they're not bad. And I think Ravalawa, he scored 20 tries in 20 games, so their attack down that right side is actually quite good. And, I don't want to talk about the Warriors too much, but the Warriors, they did a good job defending that. And then that's one of the improvements that we saw in the week.
The Dragons were perfect for that first opening 20 minutes. And so, just they turned up. Really proud of the Warriors' defense last week too, being able to hold them out for those long periods.
So I think the Dragons, they're not a bad side. I mean, they're languishing. If you watch that game against the Warriors and you watch that game against the Storm, even though they lost both of them, that's two top four teams they played, and they gave a good account of themselves. So if you'd watch those two games, you wouldn't think, oh, that's the second to last team playing back-to-back top four teams. So I'm not sure what's going on there, because I don't think they're that bad as the second to last. But they've got problems there. And the Knights, they're on an 8-game winning streak. So, they're probably the most informed team heading into the playoffs. I think Ponga's out. Actually, he's probably been their best player, or the best player of the whole comp, probably for the last sort of 6-odd weeks. But I think, they're just too much class. So Knights 13-plus even without Ponga, I reckon.
Oh, nice. 13-plus. Lachlan Miller comes in.
He was good, before.
Yeah, he was good as filling in. What did he get dropped to reserve grade? Because I didn't even see him in the reserves for a while.
Yeah, he was dropped to reserve grade, and then remember Ponga started off playing 5-8, so that's how Lachie Miller was getting that game. Then they decided correctly to switch Ponga back to fullback, and it was harsh on Miller because I didn't think he was that bad. But then that's where Gamble got the six jersey again. He's a genuine 5'8". So, but Miller's shown that he's at least first grade material. So I don't think that it is a loss, but I don't think that, you know, that Miller's not up to it, for instance.
Yeah. But yeah, no, they yeah, the Knights still started to get some of those combinations right after they yeah, you know, and it's interesting like that they've had this run of form. You just wonder, like, you know, just that whole experiment of trying to put Ponga in there again. You know, they tried that last year as well and it failed, and then they tried again. So it's interesting. But yeah, I think yeah, just Tyson Gamble coming in there as a proper 5'8". And then also I've been real impressed with Phoenix Crosland coming in there at 9.
Very he's gonna, if he makes himself available for the Kiwis, I know he's born in Wellington, but I don't know his full history. But I'll pick him, eh? I'll pick him for the Kiwis. I think he's
had
that good of a season.
He's got a nice little short kicking game. I mean, you look at like Saifidi's been carving just off the back of those little short balls he gives him and those little kicks. So, but he's out. He's maybe rested or out. But yeah, so him, Gagai, Ponga, and Frizzell. So a lot of big names out. But they still look solid. Farmanu Brown coming in. They still got Saifidi and Thompson in there. So yeah, I think I'm going with you. Knights and Dragons on a rebuild. Looks like Shane Flanagan's convinced Ben Hunt to stay.
Okay, that's good news for them.
Stick around next year. Yeah, yeah. I think he's probably just told him, you know, let's. Yeah, I guess yes. Yeah, being able to see, you know, what they can do with that team, and maybe under a bit of different coaching under Flanagan, maybe they can turn it around. Ben Hunt's huge for that team. Lomax starting to come into some form too, so. I think again, real disappointing for the Dragons, especially to run 16th behind the Bulldogs. So yeah, I think they're very much looking forward to next year. So Knights for this one. All right, first of our Sunday games, again, two games that don't mean anything. Probably disappointing too. Titans Bulldogs. Yeah, I don't know, flip a coin, who cares?
Yeah, basically. I feel for, I don't know, I won't watch it. Like you said, there's not much playoff ramifications for this one. So, yeah, disappointing season for both those teams. I mean, I suppose that means, you know, there's guys out there who could be playing for their careers, you know. You think both of these teams are going to be looking at tinkering with their rosters and trying to make improvements so they can make the playoffs next year. But, oh, you know, I look at that Titans pack and Fafita, Fortuoka, Big Tino. They've got Foran playing off the back of that. So I think the Titans should have been probably, what are they, 13th? They should be a bit higher up the table. They should have been closer to that top eight. And
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so I'll pick them more one just because I think they've got a better roster. And that Dogs defense, man. We talk about it every podcast, but shucks.
Yeah.
That is woeful.
Well, yeah, I saw something vision today that Serrato coming out saying that the culture there isn't where it needs to be. And yeah, I guess that speaks volumes of very much, you know, what we saw coming into the season. Those were the two great hopes coming out of the Panthers system and looking around. I think we were actually making a play for Serrato first, eh?
Yeah.
I remember that was the name I heard bandied around. And so when I heard Webster, I had to do some research. Yeah, but I'd heard Serrato's name. And so, yeah. And so when he went Doggies, I thought, okay, well, we got the other. We got the Coach of the Year. Are you seeing anyone else holding that title up at the moment? I know some were saying Todd Payton, but.
Coach of the Year. Yeah, I like the Warriors just from where, you know, people thought they would finish to where they have actually finished. I don't think anyone picked the Warriors for third. Nah, not many people even picked them for top eight. So a lot of them had them in finishing with the Tigers and the Dragons around that area. So That's a massive coaching achievement in his first year. Oh, I think Kevy might go close as well. The Broncos have had a really strong year. And it's sort of hard for Ivan Cleary and Bellamy. You know, their teams are good for so long, you just sort of take for granted how good they are.
Well, yeah, especially Cleary, if he misses out, you know, taking his team close to a three-peat. If he gets the three-peat, though, should it be automatic for him to be coach of the year?
Yeah, maybe, because, he didn't win it last year. I think Payton won the coach of the year last year. I'm not sure if he got it the year before either.
If you can manage your roster through all of the injuries and everything and get a three-peat, surely you deserve coach of the year. Yeah, interesting though, because I have Webster right up there for the work he's done. But I digress. Titans for that one, did you say, bro?
Yeah. And one thing just about those Dogs there, because they need to get a bit of fullback. I felt for Hayes, he got shown up badly last week. I hope they can get. I think they're getting Crichton in there from the Panthers. I'm not sure if they're signing to play center or fullback, but I just
he's
saw
totally
this
a fullback though. The times he's filled in, so
He's been good. I saw this analysis of basically it was about Cherry Evans and how he would stand sort of behind the ruck. This is the game against the Dogs Eagles game of the weekend, and then he would just make his decisions late on which side he was going to run to, and that kept the fullback Hayes Pyramid guessing about how to organize. You know, his defensive line and their numbers. But it was really about a masterclass from Cherry Evans, but it also exposed, you know, how inexperienced Hayes Pyramid is at organising defences. So they need someone better who can do that for the Dogs, eh? So,
Because he came from the Warriors system, but was he a 5'8", or was he in the halves, or is he?
He played a bit of centre for the Warriors. I think he was supposed to be a fullback, but he's... He was a gun rugby union player at high school. That's where they found him. He came through that system. So I don't know if he's got much rugby league experience and fullback experience. So I think that's
that's the thing you take for granted. Seeing really good league players and, you know, especially these fullbacks, they can, you know, if they come from union and they can kind of run awesome lines when they've got the ball. But just how much work happens off the ball with the organizing and just, you know, being able to call that stuff quickly. And so, like you're saying, with that inexperience and someone like Cherry Evans realizes that you're not actually organizing, you know, you're just kind of filling in the gaps and not really talking. I guess that's when someone like Cherry Evans can pick a fullback apart. And I guess that's the thing, also being a young player, you just see the difference in someone, you know, like Rhys Walsh. Being able to organize, you know, troops and still being young. So it's nothing to do with, you know, being inexperienced. I think it's more, just the time and the role. So obviously, Reese has probably played a lot more fullback at a level where he's had to organize players. Nice. Last game of the round. It was probably an important one to these guys. Sharks and Raiders. 7th versus 6th. Positional change, really, for these two, which may just depend on who they are facing.
Yeah, I think 6th will get a home playoff in week 1, so I think that both teams will try to win it, just to get that home playoff in week 1. That definitely helps us, particularly if you're finishing that 5th to 8th spot because you're not getting any extra lives. So there's quite a bit to play for these teams, and it could be quite a good game.
Because if the Raiders get up, Sharks slip to 7th. So it's basically, jostling for the home advantage. Okay.
Oh, but I didn't realize that this, but there could be potentially the same teams matching up again, depending on how it goes, but on what the ladder predictor says. But so there's a bit to play for there. I think the Raiders, they've lost Horsburgh got a suspension.
Yeah, that was a big call when I saw the suspension come out.
Yeah, that was a head school.
It looked innocuous, the actual hit, and the player got straight back up. So you kind of, you wonder where that plays into it when they keep saying, you know, it's player welfare, but then you see a player get up and they're fine. And then others where they're dazed and nothing happens. So that was a huge call. What were your thoughts on Ricky blowing up last week, though?
Oh, that's what he does. Yeah. He does that, eh? You know, he's trying to create that siege mentality amongst the players. Everyone's against us, blah, blah, blah. And I think that's good for him to do that just this close to the finals because they've fallen against us so bad. You know, there's a possibility, I'm not sure what the ramifications of the ladder predictor, but there's a possibility they might fall out the 8, which would be disastrous because they've been in the top 8 for about, you know, 20 straight weeks, something ridiculous like that. So to fall out on the last week, that would be harsh for them. I think that's what he's trying to do.
Yeah, the Cowboys get up, they fall out. So we've predicted the Panthers, but yeah, if the Cowboys can actually steal a win, a few other results, and the Sharks beat them, the Raiders actually fall out of the 8, which would be the worst result for them. But you're going Sharks for that one?
I am, yeah. Horsburgh's out, Popoli is out as well. And just the way the Raiders play, they play that through the middle style. That's where their strength is, their middles, Horsburgh, Popoli, Tapuni. Those are their best players, so they play that style. You take two of those guys out, I just don't think they can match it. Another interesting side, they've picked White in at centre again, which is interesting. So Frawley at 5'8". So this is one thing I picked up from that game when they played the Bronx. I think that they were worried about, you know, Reece Walsh sweeping up the back and if the edge defence could hold up. And particularly because they would have picked Jared Croker. Jared Croker's the normal centre. I think he would have got carved. So they decided to pick White in that centre, who's a far better defender than Croker. And I thought that helped out a little bit. I thought that he did a better. Walsh is too classy, so it didn't really matter. But they've stuck with that same plan of picking White in that centre and Frawley at 6. But, Frawley's not a good defender at 6. I wonder if he might be the target. I mean, if you consider Hines is there, he's back. And Nikordas runs those great lines at the back row. So they might go after
Trindle's been playing real good there. So
Yeah,
they're pretty stacked their team too. So I think the Sharks are serious about this game.
Well, yeah, I think when we look at the later predictor, getting that home playoff or not, the Sharks will back themselves to win a home game. But to go away, you know, there could be a difference between getting knocked out in the first week or carrying on, you know.
Nice, Oos. All right, so based on that, we got our top 8. I was just putting those results based on what you went through just then. We got our top 8, and our first week of finals has the Panthers meeting the Storm. Yeah, so with the Storm beating the Broncos and the Panthers going on to beat the Cowboys, the Panthers end up minor premiers. First week they go through and potentially meet the Storm based on that predictor. How do you see them going in that first week?
Well, I think the Panthers have given the Storm, they played them twice and I don't remember the exact results, but I think they were pretty convincing wins for the Panthers, eh? So, we talked about that hoodoo that the Storm have over the Bronx, but I think psychologically the Panthers have got the Storm covered. So I would probably take the Panthers on that one just on that same factor.
Nice. That'll be interesting. So Panthers, okay. So home advantage to the Knights, they play against the Raiders based on those picks. Knights home game. See them continuing on. This puts them at 10 wins in a row.
Yeah, that's getting up there. But the Knights at home, that's where they're pretty hard to beat. I think whoever gets that home ground advantage is quite crucial in the playoffs. So, yeah, I'd take the Knights just for that home ground advantage. And also that Horsburgh suspension, which was ridiculous, I'll add. Yeah.
That could be crucial. And you'll still be out for that, potentially Knights should have Ponga back by that game.
Damien. Yeah, and he's their most crucial guy, Ponga. So I don't know how bad his shoulder injury was, but if he's back for that first week of the finals, he'll be the difference, I think. So how did you see that one? Are you seeing anything?
No, I had the... I think the Knights are going to go real good deep into the finals. I don't know. Because they've kind of just had this run of form, if they need the, like, as much as we kind of talk about the Panthers and the Warriors going on these long runs, I don't know if it's something, like, with the momentum that the Knights have, I don't know if it's still the same kind of, would you talk the same way with them, that they need a loss?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. Honestly, there's that interesting stat that no one's wanted outside the top four. And I believe in that stat. Yeah, I've seen teams that are better than the Knights, I believe, that have finished in that 5th to 8th spot who haven't kicked on. So I'm a big subscriber to that theory that if you're outside the top four, it's just too hard. You only get one life. You probably might get a home game in the first week, but outside of that, you're away for the rest of the playoffs until the grand final, and away against gun teams. So it's just too hard to win, and history's shown that. So honestly, I don't see anyone outside that 5th to 8th
top four
winning it. Ooh.
All right. So the other two teams, the other teams that come into the mix for the 8, Sharks and Roosters. Roosters end up slipping in there. Hold on. Let me make sure that it's still. Oh no, you chose Rabbits, eh?
Either all Sharks or Rabbits. It doesn't. Sharks, Roosters, Sharks, Rabbits. I'm not sure if the Sharks could.
Yeah, so Sharks, Rabbits. Others. Either way, Sharks, Roosters, Sharks, Rabbits. It's a home game for the Sharks.
Yeah, that'll be a tough one, eh?
Likely to be Rabbits with Latrell back.
It's one of those ones where I keep getting swayed by the roster on paper, even though the Rabbits have got major issues. I can't get past that roster. And even the Roosters. Like, that'll be weird. I think I saw the thing where the Roosters, if they sneak in, they've been out of the top 8 since round 10. And Sharks. For them to get all the way back in round 27 and just sneak in by all these weird results, that'll be like, bro, you don't really deserve to be there, but whatever.
That's the season that we've been having, though. Everyone's been pulling stuff out. Again, though, the Sharks, is it still the same thing that they've had all season, that they've been beating up any team outside the 8?
I think that's still true. And whoever gets in out of the Rabbits or the Roosters, I think they'll take the Sharks. No disrespect to the Sharks fans that are listening and probably scoffing at that idea. I keep getting swayed by the teams on paper. How would you see that one?
I think just for the sheer fact the way the Sharks have been going and kind of the teams that they've been able to win against, I think that they end up losing this one at home. And no second chance. So yeah, whether it is Rabbits or Roosters, I'm picking either of those two. On paper, and just kind of, I think either of those teams when they get into the 8, because they've been there before, it's pretty much a whole new season for them. You know, the game plan, everything else that's happened, this whole season goes out the door, and everyone's on the same playing field again. And I think that kind of mentality from teams like the Roosters and Rabbits, when you say the roster, that's where they can truly just do a reset and go, look, it doesn't matter what's happened through the season, we're here now.
Yeah, so that's a good point.
I'm expecting a strong turning up from either of those teams if they scrape into the 8. Rounding out the final, Bronx and Warriors.
I'm not sure who would have won out of the Bronx or the Panthers, because I know he'd probably end up playing one of those two teams in that first week. With Luai out, I'm not sure. Maybe that makes the Panthers better, and they lost it to the Eels. But the Bronx, we've got an okay record against the Bronx. I heard, I don't know who said it, but in the last 5 games, we've had 2 wins and a draw. So 50-50 record there.
Oh, okay.
The Bronx have, and Simon can attest to this as well, there's heaps of Warriors supporters in Queensland and all the rest of it. So, you know, if a game at Suncorp, I think we could get a lot of supporters there as well. It's not just going to be one-sided Bronx. So I think it'll be close, but I would still probably just go the Bronx just because I think they're just a bit more better than the Warriors at this point. Hard for me to say, but I'll go the Bronx in week one.
All right, we'll push on to week two of the finals.
How are you seeing that? How would you see that one?
Over at Suncorp, I guess I want to back the Warriors, but I think it would be interesting. Like the Bronx have been playing too good, and I'm not fussed. Like I think that we've earned that life, and that's probably why I wouldn't have minded meeting the Panthers this week. So Panthers or Broncos, I'm not fussed which one. We're going to learn from it. I think the biggest thing that's kind of swaying me is that new halves combination that I mentioned going into the finals and having to figure out, you know, on the fly if their same systems will hold up. Webster coming from the Panthers system, you know, it's very similar, that next man up mentality. You know, we kind of had a lot of changes the beginning of the season when we were doing okay. And I think we had a long period just with consistency with Metcalf and Johnson, which kind of gave more confidence as the season went. So kind of to have a combination break, it's probably good though. Johnson's played this whole season. So he's pretty much steered, and whoever's come in seems to do a job. Especially with Tomaire. So it'll be good for Tomaire to get that game under his belt this week. But I actually see the Warriors just going for it.
Oh, nice. I think Harris is being out. He's going to be out for the week one of the finals. That's a big loss because he's that link man in between the two halves.
So that's
another breakdown in that playmaking system. We've got two new halves and the link man in the middle is not there. So
They got Dylan Walker playing. He can ball play.
Yeah, you're
right. But then he can overplay his hand. Like, I think that's the thing. Toy's very measured. Like, he knows when to give it, when to hold. I think Dylan's very, he's got that experience as a 5'8", so he's got a good running game as well. But maybe it's just a bit of picking and choosing. I think we're spoiled for riches, the fact that we did get Dylan Edwards. Like Cam said at the beginning of the year, he's probably been one of the pickups from Manly. Probably a huge loss for them. I will go with the Warriors for that one, but I'll keep your picks locked in there, and we'll go with that. So if that's how the week one panned out, week two has the Storm taking on the Knights over in Melbourne. How do you see that playing out if the Knights get another chance?
Yeah, that'll be a good game. The Knights will
imagine Pappenhausen if he's back in form after next week too.
Yeah, a lot will depend on how he comes back, because you know that'll be third or fourth game. So you know he'll be hopefully getting back to some of his best footy. You know, I've heard Cooper Cronk talk about this because he was quite happy with Nick Meaney at fullback, and he thinks that they'll keep Pappenhausen on the bench, and you know running through the middle similar to. Playing that 14 role with some tired defenders. I think that could work. They've got some big guys there at the Knights with, you know, the Saifidi boys and Thompson and that his footwork and his speed could tire those guys out and find little spaces there. So I'll take the Storm on that one. Pappenhausen in full effect there. What about you? How are you seeing that one?
I think, again, that experience and probably to your point, like that teams outside the top four. Same as Rabbitohs and Roosters, Storm are, you know, they're the, once they make the eight, it's a clean slate. So I think the Storm will go on to take this game. You pick the Warriors to lose that first week, it means that they end up meeting either the Rabbits or the Roosters in week two.
No, that's not what I wanted to
So, yeah, again, so, yeah, both stats kind of play into this with your teams outside the four. So the Warriors sitting third will have a home. So it's a long way to travel for these teams that are kind of, you know, as much as they're good on paper, that travel across from there to come back to Mount Smart Stadium. Especially, that'll be a sellout for the Warriors. I don't even know if tickets will be available at the moment. If people are predicting them to not make that first week. But yeah, awesome for them to have a guaranteed home final, though. But yeah, what are your thoughts? Is it head or heart, or even with your head, you can still call the Warriors on this?
Yeah, the Rabbitohs and all the Roosters have been in disarray all season. So even though on paper they got the team, it's hard to. They haven't shown enough. Whoever gets in it would have just snuck in there. And the Warriors have been consistently good. And I think at home as well, I think that's a deciding factor. Tohu Harris should be back by then. And he's a crucial cog in the Warriors. So yeah, I'll take the Warriors to win that one at home. And what are your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I think I think the Warriors have been, you know, had the Roosters. I think the season we've had, just that consistency, should give them the confidence to not kind of think of these teams the way fans look at them as well. I think they've, you know, played enough footy this season to hopefully look at these teams as beatable teams for them. And I think bringing it home too, I think it'll mean a lot to them. Never ranked this high before, so I think this is huge. So I'm picking the Warriors to take it in that game, that second week as well. Which means we get into week three with the top four teams again. So preliminary final week three has us meeting the Panthers.
Gee, that's going to be tough. I know the Panthers lost last week, but to me, they're still the best team. A lot of it's going to depend on Luai, because I think he's that crucial. If that's season ending, I don't know if they can win it without him, but if he's back, I'll give them a decent shout. I think they'll still be the team to beat. There's a lot would depend on how Cogger can chime in there and fill that role for them. But if they can get after their back three, we've talked about this before, the style that they play, how their back three do a lot of the running. So if we can kick early and smash their back three, I'll give them a chance. I like the Warriors' footwork through the middle. So Fanua Blake's got good footwork for a big man. Dylan Walker, when he comes on, he's got footwork. And I think that's how you can get the Panthers' middles. Eh? They're so fast line speed. We can beat them with footwork and a bit of short passing. That's how you can get them to miss tackles and move them around a bit more. So I'll say the Warriors. I'll say the Warriors on that one. That's the heart speaking as well. Panthers will probably be in my head if I'm being honest, but the Warriors, I'll go the heart pick. How are you saying that one?
Yeah, no, I say Warriors on that. Like, I think that's, I want us to get to that grand final, so I have to say Warriors on that. I probably would have preferred having meeting the Panthers in week one. But I think, I think if Warriors win that does, you know, after that, I think I'm not fussed who we meet out of these other two. So Broncos Storm, we talked about that hoodoo. So you already picked the Storm to take them this week. The Broncos go away and win another game. They beat the Warriors, have a rest, and now they meet the Storm again. Does the hoodoo continue if they can't beat them this week?
It does to me. I think the Bronx, just psychologically, that's the team that's got them. Storm. Mm. I reckon they can take everyone else.
Except the Storm. Bit of a water boy there with Bellamy and Kevy too.
I think the Storm, they've quite historically had a lot of Queenslanders in there. So they've got Munster and Harry Grant now. They've had the big three there. So they will always get up to play.
It nullifies the Suncorp kind of aura there too for the Broncos.
Yeah, and they're always a team that will get up to play against the biggest Queensland team, just because that's where a lot of their players come from. Bellamy was a ex-assistant coach at the Bronx when he left to take the Storm. So there's a lot of connections there, and I think, you know, sort of want to put on a good performance. I think that's why the Storm have got them always step up for that game against the Bronx. And that hoodoo, if they don't break it this week, I think it's going to come back to bite them. So yeah. I'll take the Storm on that one.
What a call. Yeah, I think that hoodoo plays a lot into it. I think if they break it this week, it does a world of good, because then you get, you know, your stars come back with Reece Walsh and all that, and that's not a factor anymore. That's just go out there and play footy. I think the roster they got, though, the Storm are starting to come right. Jerome Hughes, I don't know how long he's meant to be out for. So that's probably
that's a very good point. Yeah, yeah. They can't win it without Hughes, I don't think.
Yeah. And I think their spine is finally starting to click. That Nick Meaney, you know, that's a huge factor of consistency and keeping them together. If it goes the way you're saying, if the Bronx lose to them this week and it plays out like this, I think they end up losing to them twice. And that ends their fairy tale. And we go grand final against the Melbourne Storm. What do they traditionally do there? Like when they had the All Queensland derby. And so now this is a Victorian New Zealand final. Where would they play this?
No, I think that's already booked in for...
So it always goes to a core stadium?
A core stadium, yeah. So it's already pre-planned near whoever gets in. So, yeah, that'd be interesting. Two teams from outside, how much people get across to that. But, you know, I know that they used to have the McIntyre final system. So when first we played 8, second played 7. Yeah. And they abandoned that in 2011. So 2012
after the Warriors played all their way to the final and everyone got angry.
Exactly. Then in 2012 they started. And since 2012, since they've got this new system of the top four playing each other and the bottom fifth to eighth playing each other, no team has ever won it outside the top three.
For that reason,
third playing fourth, I will take the Warriors to carry on that tradition. Even though the Storm have got the Warriors covered too, like the Bronx. I don't know what our record is. I don't think it's as bad as the Bronx's, but it's like they've won like 8 or 9 in a row against the Storm against the Warriors. So that'd be a hard feat. That's looking good. I better start looking at some tickets. Yeah,
stars are aligning.
Get 2 Warriors supporters to do the predictions and it all works out.
It worked out perfectly for how these predictors are meant to work. You just put in and win your team to win anything, and of course they're going to come up the winners. but I mean, that's how it has played out most of the year. And I think one of the things I wanted to bring up was the rub of the green, how much that impacts how your team goes. Like a lot of these teams, even to make it to the 8, Pete, he's come on the show, he laughs about it, and he says how much of a change in the refs and the way we get calls ever since the CEO of One New Zealand came out and spoke out against the calls that were going against us. I don't know, what are your thoughts? How much do you think that plays into it?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not convinced about that, eh? Like, I'm really focusing more on the defence, eh? You know, like if a team like, say, the Tigers or the Dogs, if they get a 50-50 call against them, that almost certainly leads to them conceding points. Yeah. And you remember those bad calls if it costs you a try and it costs you a game. But you don't remember a 50-50 call against you if you defend it and you keep the opposition out. So, you know, I'm sure we don't have Tumble on, but I'm sure he could come on here and point out heaps of 50-50 calls against the Panthers. But they overcome them in a lot of instances they don't need those calls cost them the game. So that's the difference between the top teams and the bottom teams. The top teams can defend bad calls against them, and the bottom teams can't. And you know, you remember those bad calls that cost you a try or cost you a game, so it stands out more. And that's what I think the difference is. So, you know, look at us. We're the Warriors supporters. We've watched our team suck. And you're like, oh, we got some dud calls. So that's why they got a try. Well, that's why we lost. But now I think we're still getting dud calls, but our defense is better. So we just hold them out, and we're not losing games from those dud calls. So I don't think we're getting the rub of the green anymore. Just better defense.
I think, I think that is a big point because, I remember so many games where we have been filthy this year, just watching a bad call. And I guess in previous seasons, those were the turning points. You kind of know those bad calls that would lead to the team dropping their head. You know, we've had some real bad starts in a lot of our games earlier in the season. I think that was early in the season, that was what everyone kept bandying around about the Warriors, is the resilience, being able to just see them push through and kind of week after week, you know, whatever came through, they were able to win. I think that is probably a big, huge point that I was missing. Because, I guess I saw a lot of the rub of the green. But, I actually do remember team games where I've been filthy. And then real proud of the boys of not allowing that to be the reason they lost the game. And kind of, you know, nullifying that out. So I think, that probably does speak to what looks like a 50-50 call not going your way, but it's only because of the result not going your way and how you responded to that 50-50 call.
Is Pete upset about his team not getting the 50-50s? Is that what he's saying? They're out of the top eight for the first time in like 5 or 6 years. So maybe he's just seeing they're not keeping it up.
I thought those 50-50 calls were probably going to play a lot into it. And, you know, kind of that, you know, when that Manly game, you know, that the Warriors call, that, you know, that could have been a big result had they charged Nicol Klockstad for that contact on Ruben Garrick. And so those are probably huge calls there. So we're at the end of the season. We're at this is the pointy edge. Week 27, I heard the guys on Bloke in a Bar talking about the length of the season and potentially, you know, the impact and pressure it's putting on the players to be able to play week after week and then, you know, get into a pre-season. You think internationals as well. Your thoughts on the length of the season, like the Super Rugby season, being the counter-ruck host, how long does that go for? Like, what's that?
Yeah, I think it's 18. For a better comp? It's 18 weeks and then the playoffs. So I'm not sure. I wouldn't say it's a better comp, but maybe I know that players are burning out, and we see that play out last week. Look how many injuries there are.
Yeah,
I'm not sure if that's a length of the season thing or what, but it's hard to maintain. And what if we have to go around 27? Shucks, that's more than half a year, you know?
Exactly, more than half a year of playing this kind of contact. And so it's surprising you don't see more injuries of these guys.
Yeah. And when you factor in, like, imagine if you play all the way to the grand final and then you get picked for the Kiwis or Australian Samoa or whatever, particularly if you get picked for Australia, you know, you would have played 27 weeks Origin and then internationals. That's a lot of punishment for the body. So I'm not sure what the answer is. The current system, because like you said, it's only 27 rounds. I think you get two or the three byes. You're playing 24 games. And there's 17 teams. So there's a bit of unfairness in the draw. You're not playing every team twice. And some teams have got easier draws just a result of that.
Teams
so that
play
sort
twice
of got,
end up being like the harder teams. So.
Yeah, right. So, you know, there's that strength of schedule argument as well. Imagine if you just missed out by 2 points, but you had the hardest schedule.
Yeah.
Or you could be a team that scraped through and you had a really easy schedule.
You look at the Eels, they had the hardest run home.
Right,
And we kind of wrote them off when we saw that run home, thinking the maths ain't going to work for them. It was purely based on the run they had. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. So, I'm interested in looking at the length of the season just because I don't think the current system's fair. But I mean, a lot of it comes back to the money. The TV deal—that's what they paid for, and that pays the players. So, I don't know if the players will take a pay cut to shorten the season because they won't get the TV money, the same level of TV money, and then the players won't be able to get paid as much. So. Yeah, that's where it gets
It's real hard, one, eh? Because, I guess that's something they were fighting for, too, because there was going to be, lengthening of the season, more internationals. As I guess we're already saying, the season might be a bit long. Real hard. Like, I guess it is exciting. But then, you get what we're seeing now, these top teams dropping some of their, resting some of their guns. Knowing that it's a week that doesn't really count. Throughout the season, you see some teams resting players as they get a bit of a buffer. Saying that, though, it's been an entertaining season and a real close season. It's come right down to the last week to determine who's going to be the final eight. So they're still getting something, right?
Yeah, so, the NRL doesn't have a lot of issues at the moment, in terms of the product and the competition. So I don't know if I'll be making too much changes, but maybe they could look at that for sure, particularly because I'd like to see the international game grow a bit more, just on the back of that World Cup. But where you fit that into the schedule becomes more a bigger and bigger issue if you're playing 27-round seasons, so... Yeah, it's definitely something to look at a bit deeper for sure in future podcasts.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, because to grow the game, where do you fit it in? And if you start having overlaps, where does it take away from?
Right.
In the rest of the games. Sure, bro. Probably just one thing I wanted to finish off with. Out of those bottom eight teams, who do you think's probably most disappointed out of those guys? Probably the bottom six, that have no chance of making the eight now.
I'm going to probably say the Eels. They were grand finalists last year.
Yeah.
And we talked about that strength of schedule because that is a factor that I don't know many people have considered. But, that's a big fall for them. On paper, they got a good roster. I don't know if they have... Pete would be good, better to speak about it, but I don't know if they had major injuries or whatever. That Dylan Brown situation probably stuffed up their season quite a bit too, because he's a crucial cog in their machine. So
But the Eels are, I think, Madison at the beginning as well. So
yeah, that's right. And I feel like if you talk to a lot of experts, and I use that word loosely because even some of the guys in our podcast might put themselves in expert category. A lot of them would have picked the Eels to at least finish in the top eight. And the fact that they didn't, that's a big drop for them. Who do you think?
That's huge for this season. Yeah, no, straight off the bat. Yeah, I think definitely the Eels to be able to get in to a grand final. Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out the maths, how they made the grand final last year.
Exactly.
But then, you look at the performance they put on last Thursday. And that is frustrating, I guess not. But as a fan of the game, but also you think as an Eels fan, that must be hard to watch, knowing that that's in your team. And it's not like the Panthers went out there. Yeah, like that whole dropping a game. I think they might have planned that for this week. And that went terribly wrong when the Eels turned up last week.
Also, we talk about this, the length of the competition. Like 27 weeks, that's enough time to sort out whatever issues you've got and get your
act together. The other thing, eh?
Yeah. So, basically, teams finish where they're supposed to finish it after 27 weeks. You can't say, this happened and that happened, or bad couple of weeks or whatever, and everyone said you've got enough time to sort your season out, really.
Well, Adam O'Brien's proof of that, he experimented at the beginning of the season, and this experiment that everyone knew was ridiculous, And then he kind of switched, realized, yep, it's not going to work, changed that up, got it right.
Mm.
And now these guys are flying into the finals.
Yeah, that's right. That's all right. That's a good point. So, yeah, you know, and the Eels, they probably had the opportunity to do that as well if they could have.
Yeah.
I think it's 27 for the Knights, weeks you should sort it out.
Again, though, for the Knights, I think, you know, just with that origin period and then strength of roster again, schedule, I think their back end was a bit favourable. I think they had a lot of the lower teams to get them in that form.
Yeah.
And kind of when you get in winning form, you got someone like Kalen Ponga, you just keep winning once things start clicking. And then on the flip side of that, out of those six, who are you looking to try and make the biggest moves next year? Who do you really see kind of with their, some of the talk of their buys, some of what they're looking to do next year?
I think in 2021, I might have to fact check this, but in 2021, I think the Cowboys, they finished like second or third to last, right? Then they, what they did is they sacked their new, they sacked the coach. They got a new coach in, bring new ideas. That was Todd Payton. And then he got them from like third to last up to like top four with his new ideas. And he won coach of the year. Then you think about 2022, it was the Warriors who were languishing in the bottom three. They get a new coach. He brings in new ideas. Then this year, here we are. We're in the top four. So I'm trying to think of a team who's in the bottom, who got a new coach for next year and can turn things around and get into the top four. And that team is the Titans. They got Dez Hasler. They've got a roster who's good enough, and the Titans are the team who will follow that trend. They will be top four next year. Put $50 on it.
Oh, nice. I like the science behind that answer, mate. Yeah, and Desi's the kind of guy. Yeah, some of their buys too. Yeah, that'll be interesting with the Titans.
Yeah, nice, Titans might pick to make a jump.
Yeah, I was actually going to say the Sharks. The Dragons on the same note. I thought you were going to say Dragons with Flano coming in.
Oh yeah, maybe yeah.
Yeah, because I think again, you know, their roster's tidy with Ben Hunt there, some of their forwards, and so probably just the way they play, because they're very kind of centered around Ben Hunt, but they're very vanilla. Like there isn't much kind of structure. There's no pattern that you can kind of speak to, similar to kind of the Broncos or the Panthers, you know, the way that they're playing their game, or, you know, the Warriors using their forward pack. You kind of, I guess you wonder how Dragons win games and then you realize they don't win games. I think maybe on that game, same point.
Mm-hmm. They played the game when they played the Warriors last week, the Dragons. That prop they had, his name escapes me. Black Laurie. Mate, he was a beast. So they've got a good front row. One good front row. They've got Ben Hunt, obviously. Zach Lomax. They've got someone on the edge who's pretty good. Ravalawa's scoring 20 tries in 20 games. So the pieces are there. Okay. The pieces are there.
Yeah, exactly. They're a bit loose. Who's their 13? I think they lost the... Yeah, well, the Ballon was a huge loss for them.
Right.
Maybe that's some rostering stuff there. But I think Flano could probably do a bit with them, kind of what he did with the Sharks, kind of that big shake-up. So, I think on the similar point to yours, but I think, the Dragons are probably going to be the biggest movers I see coming from bottom two, probably coming in fifth next year.
Ooh.
Yeah, there you go. Pushing hard for the Dragons.
Oh, yeah.
Nice, Wolf. Anything else, bro?
Yeah, no, not much, man. Just thanks for having me on. I'm just looking at all these teams. They're having their Mad Monday celebrations and all the rest of it coming up. So, man, good luck to those teams. Enjoy that. But just the team culture, man, they got to sort out their team culture. So they talked about the Rabbitohs and what they've gone through. They've bloody fallen off a cliff. And Burgess has bloody been sacked or whatever. Yeah, you know, talking about the Bulldogs and all the problems that they've got. Yeah, more culture issues, problems. Culture issues, so you know, you compare it to some other teams, Melbourne and that, they're at the top.
But that's the thing. Like, I guess you talk about culture, Warriors for a long time, you know, Gus, I think that was one thing Gus came and worked really hard on, because you know, there was that culture thing, like, what's their identity, what are these guys about? And yeah, I guess that's the thing. Webster's come in and has obviously connected to whatever the work that's been done in the background, because man, if he was a CEO of a company, he'd be getting him every day to turn the culture of an organization around and actually get that buy-in is huge. Because that's, yeah, culture isn't a turnaround in a year. You can have a good culture with useless players and turn around a season. But to be able to have, you know, the same team pretty much on roster and fix culture, that's huge. Because that's kind of what the Warriors, you always looked and thought, these guys can do it, you know, week after week. People go, oh, they're an exciting team, but you just didn't know what's going through their heads half the time when they just random offloads, like, oh, rocks and diamonds. You know, that was the Warriors' trademark. Every player was rocks and diamonds. Shawn Johnson had a good week, and then the following week he was... And so, yeah, just that consistency has been... that's been what... So, yeah, so good as a fan of the Warriors too. I don't think I've seen a season like this where we've been so consistent. You know, the 0-2 and the 11 when we got through, you know, those were, you know, we kind of did the maths and made our way in there. But, yeah, this has been a real targeted and, yeah, just one of those years. Everyone's just been waiting for us to fall off the cliff, and the guys have just kept on going. So I think we did right on our predictor. I think that's perfect.
I hope so. I've put in for some leave. I'm going to try it. If the Warriors make it, I'm going to try and see if I can jet over at the last minute. So I've taken a couple of days off on the after the grand final, 2 days off, just so I can quickly board it if I need to. But I'm going to try to wait for the last minute and then go out on a pay, and then if they're not in it in the final.
Go put in some leave as well then. Zeki also. Thanks for coming on, man.
No worries. Cheers, mate. Always a pleasure.
All right, also. Listen out for your podcast, the next one with your preview to the Rugby World Cup, bro. Catch up, also.
Cheers, mate. Cool.
All right.